Lewis, Gosh, Gentleman Jackson.
To inquire the handler of the resolution.
Sheriff Sands County, do you yield? He does proceed.
I do. Hi, gentlemen.
Hello, gentlemen. Good afternoon. It's a spirited debate on health care.
Yes.
Know. It can be handled in many ways, and we're back to. But I just want to talk to you about a couple of things that I keep hearing over and over. First off, let's discuss this mandate. What federal bill mandates that someone takes health insurance? Because there's not, I'm just curious on which health care bill you're discussing. Because as of now, there's no bill that mandates any health insurance.
That's not true, gentlemen.
No, gentlemen, as a matter of fact, there's even an option that if you're employed, if you have insurance that's provided by your employer, you cannot take the public option. So there is no mandate.
You're confusing the two issues, gentlemen.
No, we're talking about insurance, and you're talking about cost, and we're talking about the federal issue, which was about coverage. You're confusing the issues.
No, gentlemen, you are confusing the issue. There's the public option, which
yes.
I'll agree with you, is not in the bill. The requirement to have some form of health insurance is in the bill.
Yes, gentlemen, but that the requirement to have health insurance for those who do not have health insurance. So that's not including any of us. That's not including anybody who already pays for their health insurance, or most people do who
only,
can do pay for their health insurance.
Only if your current health insurance plan meets the federal definition set up by the bureaucrats in D.C. as a qualified health care plan.
No. This wasn't. There was information provided. We're talking about underinsured people in America. Do you know how many people considered in a study shown by our own insurance companies, there's over 60 million people who are underinsured?
Gentlemen, those numbers are not correct. It's more of around 20 to 30 million that do not have current health insurance.
Okay, 20 to 30 million. Even so,
it's less than 10% of the less than 10% of the population. You're going to take over 1/6 of the nation's economy.
But we're not taking over anything. How is it a takeover?
Gentlemen, I'm not sure where you've been the last year, but that's exactly what is going on in D.C.
No, there's not any takeover going on. For the last year in D.C., there's been discussion. That's what's been discussed. I mean, that's what we do. We debate, as you know, as we do on these things. And so it is going to take time. But these myths that are keep being perpetuated that have got the American people so up in arms.
Gentlemen,
right?
I've read the bill. I've read the bills, gentlemen. I know what's in them.
I read the bills as well. You said it was going to add at least $1 trillion to the deficit?
Correct, over the next 10 years.
The Congressional Budget Office says it won't be any more than $250 million at the most over the next 10 years.
That's
I mean,
not
so where are you
either.
Getting your numbers from? I mean, I've seen the bill, and that's what the Congressional Budget Office says, $239 billion over 10 years, and you're telling $1 trillion. That seems to me more perpetuation of falsehoods.
That's not true, gentlemen.
Gentlemen, that is true. It's here and documented. And, I mean, there, we can go on and on.
Gentlemen, the taxation on the bill will result in $572 billion in just new taxes by imposing a 5.4% surcharge on joint filers earning over $1,500,000 for singles. The tax will... Gentlemen, I could go on and on and on. If you want me to read...
No, let's see.
We can have study versus study, gentlemen.
The tax is a surtax on people who own are exceeding $350,000 per joint filers. Now, people who earn less than that already pay more than that in taxes. So, in reality, it could be seen as an evening in tax. And now, that's a 1% tax not greater than $500,000 per year. And a 1.5% tax on those who make $1 million per year, and a 5.4% tax on those exceeding $1 million.
What about the new
more than that in taxes than my salary right now.
What about the new 8% payroll tax on all small businesses across the country?
That's not true. The reality is that they would establish a 1% tax, the same thing on the small businesses, at the same level. There is no 8% tax.
New tax, businesses would have to surrender 8% of their payroll to government if they don't offer insurance or pay at least 72.5% of their workers' premiums.
And right here, the Ways and Committee stated that according to the JCT, only 4.1% of small business owners would be affected by the
tax. All right, gentlemen. You think there's no cost, so gentlemen, you agree the federal government should force us to purchase.
But that's my point. The federal government is not forcing us to do anything.
Gentlemen,
creating these myths.
You are misrepresenting the bill.
You are
flat out.
You
are flat out speaking misrepresentations on this House floor.
I have documented facts right here that speak to it. Where are your facts speaking?
Right here, gentlemen. Right here, gentlemen.
Not opinion. I'm asking for facts and studies to show me where that is fact.
Gentlemen, the Heartland Institute,
the Professional Beckett Office,
the Heritage Foundation,
all
the
partisan organizations. I have here, right here, from nonpartisan organizations showing facts.
Gentlemen,
Heritage Institute,
if you
want to
take more freedoms and liberties away from the American people, then vote against my resolution. If you
want
to stand up for freedom of this body, then vote
no.
for it.
You continue to present these falsehoods about the myths and leadership, but every year you come and you present something, not you, your side, big brotherish, DNA, expansion of laws, and now you're going to argue with me about life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness?
Gentlemen, if you want to keep pounding your left-wing partisan ideology, that's
speak
fine.
Speak on the bill.
Proceed, gentlemen.
This is not about ideology. This is about what's right. And what's right is to give the facts and objectives on something and let people make it up for themselves. Now, I'm not here to argue Democrat or Republican. I'm here to argue the idea of what our government is. Our government is a democracy, and we have an active part of that democracy, whether it be the people on the far right of this or the far left. And to present facts that are untrue and a misrepresentation to get people to buy into your argument is completely against the idea of what a democracy is. The idea is that we present the facts, we present what is real, and let people make a decision. If I present misdistorted and facts that are just off the cuff, and I give you information that is far from true and say, well, what do you think of it now? That is not democracy. That is just me playing games with the people. And Mr. Speaker, the people of this country and the people of Missouri are tired of politicians playing games. They're tired of us coming up here and making issues out of issues that aren't. You know, in my opinion, we need to be talking about the infrastructure of our state, the infrastructure of our country, because we are falling apart right before our eyes. This is dealing with infrastructure. Insurance coverage was the basis for this bill. Coverage, not cost. Over 60 million people are underinsured, not counting the people who are not insured. And so we have a true crisis and epidemic on our hands, and those of us who do work to pay for our insurance do not want to see our insurance costs go up too, because we get to continually subsidize those who are underinsured and those who don't have insurance. This is a way to stave off back-end cost. We're trying to take care of the working person here and make sure that we have access to insurance care and things that we want to provide for ourselves and are able to provide for our family. And so if we're going to be righteous about this, we need to present the facts as they are and not as we see fit to. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.